Welcome to The Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez.
And I'm Jeff Noe.
And today we are talking about church attendance. All right, so this seems like it could be very self-serving as a topic.
Right? Are we allowed to talk about this?
Talk about church attendance.
You can't talk about giving or attendance, right?
Is that the next one? We're gonna
talk. No, we're not going to talk about giving.
I don't think we're doing giving yet.
But no, yeah, that's like one of the third rails. Like,
it is.
How dare you talk about my attendance?
It is. Especially after we just got done talking about Episcopal
leadership
models, control and hierarchy, and not being saved by sacraments and works. So here, let me set the stage why we're talking about this. Church attendance is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that outside of our type of culture, so it could be in the West, could be in Western Europe as well, but our culture has this travel dynamic.
Yes.
Now, what I can tell you is that I've seen over 80% of the world, they don't travel outside of 5 miles out of where they're either born or where they reside.
We do that just to get to church.
Right. And so we have a very different dynamic in our culture and society than most of the world. So this doesn't actually apply to the great population of the New Testament church in this age, but this does apply to the wealthy. And I'm just going to put us in that camp.
Sure. Wealthy.
And not to demean or not to cast aspersions, but just the nature, like you said, that we can drive that far for church. The fact that we have our own cars, the fact that we pay our fuel, the fact that we have even fuel stations that are safe to fill up at.
Right.
You know, there's so many dynamics and things we should be thankful for, not things that we should necessarily feel guilty for. We can maybe go back to another sermon to hear about the nature of riches and poverty. But why is this important then? In our culture, we do have a dynamic where people travel, they go out of town for different things. And so really the question is, how do we think about balancing our time with whether it's vacations or even commitments that are outside of the regular gathering of the life of the church? How do we consider those commitments? How do we consider even saying yes? Jesus, I mean, we're taught, let your yes be yes.
Right.
And let your no be no.
Right.
How do we learn and practice saying yes to the right things and not get off balance?
Yeah. It's funny. As soon as the temperature hits 80 degrees in Southern California, people like half the church is gone. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like they're hiking, they're just gone. Like, oh, it's 80 degrees. Okay. So it's funny how the seasons change and everybody just thinks about, I got to get out of town.
Yeah.
Except for those of us who preach every Sunday.
tend to not get out of town on Sundays.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that sounded really self-serving. Okay. No, I think we need to, two things come to mind. Number one, we actually do think vacations are good.
Yeah.
And rest is good. And time with family is good. So we are not anti-vacation. But we need to come back to what is the purpose of the gathering, right? Like, what does the Bible say? Why do we need to be together? So, and every believer should be able to answer that question.
Yeah,
I hope. And if they can answer that question, that's going to impact how often they decide to vacation.
Yeah, decision they make. Yeah,
or you know, and look, it's a different thing to say, hey, look, we've got a hotel booked, and we're literally going out of town. We're going to Cambria. We're out of town. Versus saying, the weather's nice. Let's sleep in and blow it off. Those are different things, right? We're in favor of the first. We're not in favor of the second.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing. So we got to test our hearts in that. Like if we're going to miss the gathering, is it a worthy reason? Is it really a good, is it a vacation, a rest, a family time? Great. If we're just getting lazy, then that's a different thing. So that's one side of it. But what is the purpose of the gathering? And Hebrews 10 gives us the answer to that question. Let's go to the Bible. Hey, Adam, let's go to the Bible.
We like going to the Bible. It's a good thing. Yeah. So what does Hebrews 10:25 say?
Well, usually people start with verse 25, which is don't forsake the assembling of the saints. But really you should go before that. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So think about that. People, especially in the book of Hebrews, people were wavering, right? Should I go back to Judaism? Yeah. They were wavering. Let's hold fast. And one of the ways that we hold fast is by gathering with the saints, because we together hold fast. So that's one part. It says, for he who promised is faithful, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds.
Amen.
So there's a huge reason for the gathering. We get together and we kind of energize one another mm-hmm. that this is true, this is right. Let's lock arms and let's keep walking forward together.
Yeah.
And then it says, don't forsake the assembling together of the saints, but encouraging one another. Mm-hmm. This is what we need to rethink Sundays. Okay. Honestly, everybody who's listening to this, why do you come to church? Do you come with a purely selfish motive? Do you come thinking, who can I encourage? Who can I stimulate to love and good deeds? It's a different mindset. Yes, primarily we're coming to worship God. In fact, that is fulfilling our very purpose for existence. We're coming to worship our Creator. That's number one. But number two is, hey, what is the Holy Spirit doing in the midst of our body where I can have a conversation with somebody to build them up, to yeah. encourage them, to stimulate them to love and good deeds? Are there divine appointments that I'm tired, I'm blowing that off? But no, God says, no, I want you to be there because there's a conversation you need to have with somebody. Or you know what? You need to stack that chair, those chairs. Or you need to work on the AV. There's all kinds of things. But if we don't see the gathering as supernatural, but just as, hey, I'm checking a box, or hey, I just want to go get a little bit of a good sermon. Mm. I hope these songs are being sung. Man, there's so many ways we can do this wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll stop ranting now.
I mean, it sounds like you're railing against, maybe railing is the wrong term, but it sounds like you're pointing out the consumer mindset
sure.
that yeah. is so prevalent
yeah.
and really is infectious in the wrong ways within modern Christendom.
Right.
There's this idea of just going and you sit for you and you have your seat in your place. Like you described, it's my worship. It's my songs. I'm there for me. Like that kind of mentality, which is really bad. Now I would say in more of our circles, it maybe is less prevalent mm-hmm. in terms of that, very selfish dynamic. But if it's not positively holy, pursuing the things that you've just advocated, mm-hmm. stimulating one another towards love and good deeds, encouraging one another, then it's in this middle place. And I think Jesus would call that lukewarm.
Yeah.
And that's a danger.
Right.
That
right.
It's not, maybe it's, you're not just showing up for you. Maybe it's not just all about the songs you want to sing. Although I think we all have our favorite songs
sure.
that we might appreciate, sure. which is not bad. But really what we see, the emphasis in God's word is to love him is to worship indeed. And in truth,
right?
Those things go hand in hand. So it's what we do and how we live, and that we're doing it in what is true according to his word. And that's the test of truth
right.
according to his word. So if we're not loving one another presently by singing songs together, by, stacking of the chairs, by serving in the kids ministry,
right,
by,
right.
Just asking, how are you doing? And how can I pray for you?
Right.
The normative things that are part of the life of the church.
Yeah.
If we're not intentionally doing those things, then we are living a very lukewarm faith.
Agreed. Yeah. Again, there's the fellowship opportunities, we talk about living life together, right? And love each other well. Well, that actually happens on Sundays, right? It's supposed to go all week long, but in particular, there is something powerful, supernatural, mysterious when the body of Christ comes together.
Yeah.
And that's why we talk about, even in worship, you're focused on God, but look around. See your brothers and sisters mm-hmm. singing as well. That's that idea of like together we're holding fast the confession of our faith. And it just encourages you, right? Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And again, people are, I think just, and now I know sometimes you got young ones and it's hard to get to church and all that. You've got to try to maintain the sacredness of the gathering. Mm. Sacred is a word that we don't usually use in evangelicalism. It sounds too, formal, but it's a sacred time.
Yeah.
It's okay to use that word. If we believe the Spirit is present amongst us in a unique way on Sundays when we worship, it's okay to use that word. And let me just say this as well. If you are taking a vacation or you're taking that Sunday off for whatever you're doing, there's still ways to do that well too.
Hmm.
Don't just disappear on us. Right? As elders, we hate that. Like, because yeah.
Where did so-and-so go?
Exactly. Yeah. We do this at our elder meetings. Like, have you seen so-and-so in a couple weeks? Let us know what's happening in your life.
Yeah.
If you're if you're going to, I'm going to Cambria this weekend. You can tell me that. I would love it. In fact, send me a text on a Friday. Hey, going to Cambria this week. Going to miss being with you guys. I know you're in Titus 3. I'll be praying for you guys. What an encouragement that would be to one of your elders, to the preacher guy. And then when you come back, hey, I caught up. I listened to the sermon online. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Those little things. Now you've checked in with one of your shepherds. And your shepherds are like, yes, that is so great. Don't disappear on us.
No, that's good. That's really good. You know, I think in the intentional way, there's a way that you can walk forward in anything where you're caring about what you're doing. And then there's a way where you walk responsive to what's happening around you, more reactive,
yes,
reactive, but not intentional.
Right.
And I appreciate that you're highlighting this, the intentionality that should be there even for a believer who may miss, you know, on a Sunday. And there can be reasons. There can be all kinds of reasons. Right. There can be fun reasons, but there can also be hard reasons that people miss.
We're sick.
Right. We're sick, or I'm caring for a loved one who's sick, or I have a loved one who may have passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, and going to be with them, or not with them, but with a family who's grieving the loss.
Yeah.
You know, so there can be various reasons that somebody may miss on a Sunday, but I think it's important to come back to that word. And I do like that word, sacred. There is something special about our gathering on Sunday because we've all committed to be there.
Right.
It's kind of like a family, right? During the week, there's all kinds of activities that the family does. Dad goes to work.
Yeah.
You know, mom's taking care of the kids. Maybe mom's going to work too. Kids are going to school or whatnot. And there's a lot of activities that happen. But then the family meal, right?
Yeah.
I think is normal and good as far as any family can pursue it. That dinner.
Right.
That everyone gets together and, hey, now we're sitting down together. This intentional time that we're spending together, there's something special about that.
Yep.
You know, there's laughter, there's stories of the day, there's even reflection on what is true and biblical and, you know, hard things. But all that's very special. And it's intentional because everyone's trying to be there at that family meal.
Right.
And I see the similarity of the Sunday gathering.
It's a priority.
It's the commitment of the whole body, that local body has committed to gather together to hear God's word proclaimed, to hear it explained, to be encouraged to live according to God's word, to sing praises to his name, to be with one another, to have an opportunity to practice the one another. It's like, it's very intentional because everyone's committed to that time and that place together. And we're corporeal people. I mean, we're physical people. We need to be there. We can't just say, I'm sending thoughts and prayers your way.
Right.
You know, like, and we appreciate the prayer, but the prayer is not the same as being present. And Paul made that clear. Mm. I wish that I could be with you.
Yeah.
Like there's a goodness to being physically present with one another. And the Sunday gathering really is the pinnacle of the Christian life, being together.
Yeah. I like that image. That's a good image of the family that gathers, whatever, Friday night, Sunday night, whatever it is. And you might, I had the Sabbath principle in mind as well.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. This is just my personal opinion. We don't have a New Testament Sabbath principle given to us, but I in some ways envy the way you have observant Jews that make that Friday night meal is non-negotiable and they look forward to it and they get together. And yes, they don't have the truth, the gospel truth that goes with it, but there's something beautiful about families that gather. They say, no, of course, it's Shabbat. I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
I'll be there. And so I sometimes envy that and wish that maybe evangelicals had a higher, vision for the gathering in that same sense. And maybe that's something we can emphasize more.
Yeah, I think it's worth, I mean, obviously, you know, we're having an episode about this. I think it's worth discussing.
Yeah.
I think it's worth talking about. I think we can take for granted the local gathering to where it's something we do, but not something we seek.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's even a distinction in terms that I would encourage people to think about. Is the Sunday gathering something that you do? Or is it something that you see, you're looking forward to, you're seeking to be with the believers? Like when I travel and I'm in Africa or something, I miss being here.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate being with another church across the world, singing in another language, the really cool things, but I miss being here with our church.
Yeah.
I miss checking in with the people that I check in with on Sunday mornings. I miss shaking Bill's hand on my way walking in and asking him how his week is. You know, those are things that you can't do when you're far away. And so right. we can recognize there are times that we may need to miss for various reasons. And they could be, vacation and pleasure and rest, but they could also be hard things as well. But I think there are some general things I would encourage if you're trying to think, okay, well, what's the principle then? Mm-hmm. Maybe just think about some numbers here. I'm not a numbers guy, but I think in terms of numbers for principles,
okay,
I think it's helpful. You think about the typical workplace, they'll give you, maybe a little less than 4% of your overall time for the whole year that is both sick and vacation time. Let me put that in perspective. Hmm. There's 2,080 hours in the average work year.
Okay.
40 hours a week times 52 weeks roughly.
Okay.
In there. Okay. You get about 8% of that time off between sick time and vacation. So you get 80 hours sick, that's 2 weeks. 80 hours of vacation, that's 2 weeks. Hmm. Right. So roughly 4 weeks. Right. Is between that.
I'll trust you.
Okay. you think about how much time that is, over the course of the year, it's less than 10%. It's okay. About 8% of the year.
Gotcha.
Okay. Or of your work time. So something in the realm of 10% seems normal. Now we have a 10% people approach giving, right? And they say, oh, about 10%.
Yeah.
And I'd say, it's not a rule. We've talked through that
sure.
and giving principles that it's not a rule, but it's not bad to try to aim for such a number. And there's some, more biblical precedents like 30, if you want to get really, hyper going to the Old Testament. But yeah, we're not asking for that, just to clarify. But 10% seems to be within the realm
sure.
of what seems to be normal. And so here's probably what I would tell the believer who's listening is, if you look at your attendance to things throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
whether it's your attendance on Sundays, or for members, particularly your attendance at members meetings. And because I would say that's part of
yes.
a very special gathering. It's on a Sunday. It's part of the same day of, whether we call it Sabbath day
yeah.
but the day of worship, corporate worship together, that if it's more than 10%, it'd be a good thing to check and say, I wonder, is this an issue of just me making, bad choices and plans, or is it things have come up
right.
and maybe it was a difficult season in some ways and, or could I be better at planning some of the things that I'm doing that don't need to impact Sunday mornings
right.
as much, maybe yeah. not stay out as late on Saturday night or, things like that.
We should do a whole episode on member communion though.
I think, I'm teeing it up for potential here.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
It is at the heart of who we are as a church family. But that's for another time.
For another time. So, the number thing, here's my last point I'll make. The number thing why I think it's important. If somebody is unwilling to miss more than that 8% at work, but they're willing to miss more than 8% at church,
yeah,
priorities.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I would say.
Right.
It's not the rule of the number that is the heart of it.
Right.
The gospel is not the law.
Right.
On purpose. But I think looking at the law, you see a reflection of your heart. So if you're prioritizing work more than you're prioritizing your time with the body,
yeah,
that probably says something,
It's heart check.
Consider, yeah, what am I loving? Do yeah. I love being with the body?
Yeah.
Right. I think at the end of the day, that's probably the heart question. Do I love being with the body? Do I love being together on Sundays? Do I love being with people throughout the week? Like if right. you do, then,
Then you will.
You'll make a point,
right?
To be with people.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Okay. I think we beat that one. Pretty good. All right. Well, thanks for being with us on The Thinking Tree. We pray this conversation has helped you to renew your minds and reform your hearts.